Saints have the day off, but we'll hear from Sean Payton and Marcus Davenport. Tigers 25 days away from their opener and eye-opening absences at LSU's football practice yesterday as they get ready to put the pads on for the first time today. Will Wade gets a big, and Larry Holder tells us who he'd like to sit down with the New Orleans Saints and have lunch with. All these stories, plus a great father-son story for the ages today, Tuesday, August 6th, 2019.
Goins waits, and Soto deals the 3-2. Swinging a pop-up in the short center field. Dropping fast, it's going to fall, I believe, for a hit. And it did fall for a hit. Mercer made a valiant effort. It falls for a hit, short center. The White Sox regain a two-run lead.
And the pitch. Trout blasts one into left center field. It is Trout here. Second Decker there for Trout. That is home run number 37 of the season. And the Angels with their second home run in this game. Both of them have been blasts for the two solo homers. It's now 6-2 Reds.
Trying in the pitch. This one's hit in the air to fairly deep left center field. Going back is Canna. He leaps up. It is in the basket for a home run. Number two on the night for Baez. He raises his right hand in the air as he rounds third. Cubs extend the lead 6-2 over Oakland here in the seventh.
And a great good afternoon to you and yours. Between Trout and Yelich and Belanger, the home run ball is big in Major League Baseball. But we focus here in this part of the world on football. With that, we say good afternoon. Welcome, my main man CD, back in the Master Control Suite. 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media. KLWB 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. Yours truly. And we're here for the next 2 hours. We're great, thankful to have you, and we hope to keep you for today and many, many more days to come. Busy day. We've got LSU football report, Saints report, basketball report. We got everything under the sun for you. We begin with our headlines for the day. When the LSU football team returned to practice yesterday, it was more of a who's not here than who is here, because linebacker Kalavon Chaisson, senior cornerback Christian Fulton, All-American junior safety Grant Delpit were all out of the lineup, as was freshman guard Cardell Thomas. Kalavon Chaisson quickly went out on Twitter and said, yes, I promise you everything is okay, nothing knee-related. Ed Orgeron came out and said, some minor stuff, nothing to be concerned about, they will be fine. Pads, full pads on today. Same thing holds true for the Ragin' Cajuns. So now the preliminary work is done. Now it's time for the big uglies in the trenches to get after it. And we'll see where the dust settles for both ball clubs. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints have the day off today. Their preseason opener is Friday against the Minnesota Vikings. Will we see veterans play? Well, we'll hear from Sean Payton and get his philosophy on preseason games. In basketball news, Will Wade landed a commitment, and it was a big one. Deshaun Thomas, 6'9", 235, out of Florida Southwestern Junior College, a teammate of current LSU guard Charles Manning. A simple message that he put on social media, Instagram, that read, believe it, hashtag boot up. He can run the floor. He's not, didn't put up huge, huge numbers, but here's a guy that's going to come off the bench, give you some 10, 15 minutes a night, bang the glass, protect the paint, and put a little muscle out there when you need it. We will talk with Billy Embody more about DeShawn Thomas in hour number two at around 3:15. Billy from Go247 Sports. Larry Holder in hour number two at around 3:30 will join us, and we'll talk all things New Orleans Saints. One of my questions to him is comparing trios, Marcus Colston, Sproles, Jimmy Graham, compared to Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Jared Cook, the new tight end. Which trio would he take, and why? So we'll delve down that road and many, many other paths with Larry Holder. Wilson Alexander of The Advocate will join us today in about 22, 23 minutes, and we'll talk about what he has seen so far from LSU football as they are 25 days away from the start of the college football season. I love Athlon Sports. They always do a survey where they take coaches from around the league anonymously, and they talk about other teams. Scouting reports that come directly from coaching staffs. They don't reflect the views of Athlon's editorial staff, but these SEC coaches talk anonymously about their conference foes for 2019. That is the preface for this. Here's what they say about LSU this year. Quote, and I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. This team could be their best chance to catch Alabama in a long time. You see athleticism and size everywhere. They're big and strong on both lines. They're going to be physical all over. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback to play for the Tigers in a long time, and he's definitely one of the SEC's best returning quarterbacks. His development will change that offense. They should have enough starting talent at running back for at least two SEC teams. Foster Moreau was a great tight end. They don't have anyone like that to replace him. Great linebacker play, even with Devin White being gone. Patrick Queen came in for him versus Alabama after a targeting call on White and did really well. Solid secondary play still on the roster, despite them losing a lot to the NFL. They recruit really well to that position. The focus will be on the offense and what the new offensive guy, former Saints assistant coach Joe Brady, brings in. Expect some newer stuff passing. I know they're talking about installing RPOs, but they still want to smash you running the ball. And if you have the bigs, that's what you do in this league. And Ed Orgeron has a history with his play callers. He doesn't stray too far from what he's comfortable with, no matter what he says when he hires them. Isn't that interesting? But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. This is the best team Orgeron has had. If they expand the offense, they can beat anyone. How about that? And I agree. I agree with him totally. Totally. Okay. As a parent, all of you out there as parents, if you ever played sports in your life, you always want to see your children succeed on the athletic field. You want them to always have success and have a joy and a love for the game that they like. This is really a pretty neat story. Meet Eason Diaz. He's the Marlins' number five prospect per MLB pipeline. And alongside Lewis Brinson, he was called up by Miami prior to the team's doubleheader against the Mets last night at Citi Field. The day turned out to be pretty incredible for Diaz and his family as he started in the first game against the oh-so-formidable Jacob DeGrom. In the sixth inning, Diaz came up against DeGrom looking for his first career hit. Now, during the at-bat, his parents, who'd made the trip to the ballpark to watch their son's first game, were being interviewed on television. And on a 1-2 pitch from DeGrom, Diaz, well, this ought to tell you what he did. Listen up.
It's an emotional day for you.
Very,
very emotionally.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Kid hit a home run, right? While Dad was being interviewed, and he just went crazy, as we all would. And that's what it's all about. An incredible timing on a 1-2 pitch from one of the most feared pitchers in the game today. So congrats to Eason Diaz. Congrats to the entire family. You think that's a memory that they will ever forget? I doubt it. That is special. That is special. Those are your headlines of the day, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets, with over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. Wow. They've got everything under the sun for you. Specials each and every day. Everything you could ever imagine, no matter what you need, it is there. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you can't shop right at all. Coming up next, we'll hear from Sean Payton. The Saints have the day off today, but we've got sound from him after yesterday. They had 12,000 people show up at Yeoman Stadium to watch the Saints have a little practice. We're talking practice. Saints fans are ready. Tiger fans are ready. We got you all covered. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
You're listening to the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
All right, welcome back. The Jordy Helfrich Show brought to you by Ducks. Ducks cleaning America's air from the inside out. That's Ducks, D-U-C-T-Z, in Lafayette, in Baton Rouge, and everywhere. Ducks, get that dryer vent cleaned out. It will save your dryer. It will lower your energy bill. It will take care of things. So get involved with Ducks. They'll take care of you, and you'll be thankful for that. Again, the Saints have the day off Friday, their preseason opener against the Minnesota Vikings. But after yesterday's practice, Sean Payton caught up with the media, and he started off by saying, man, we had a really good practice today.
I thought the defense did pretty well in the two-minute drill at the end. I thought the practice coming off of I thought last night was one of our better practices, and I felt like they followed up today with another good practice on both sides of the ball. So, you know, there'll be a little time now where they're off. We're kind of into our Tuesday off day and kind of go from there.
A little off day. Boy, they welcome that. So with Friday being the first preseason game, Sean Payton was asked about his philosophy for each one of these games that really just don't count.
There's a philosophy with all of them. You know, how we're playing guys can vary in each game. Tomorrow we'll meet as a staff and we'll go through the roles relative to Minnesota. Like the play count, we expect, and we'll discuss every player that's dressed in the game. How many plays we'd like to see them play in the kicking game, both offensively and defensively. And then the key is then communicating that so we have an organized game. And, you know, we're not stuck with 10 guys on the field. a little bit harder in the kicking game sometimes. But from that standpoint, I would say week by week there might be some differences. I think from a competitive standpoint and trying to win and trying to put your best foot forward, that would be consistent in each week.
All right. So Alvin Kamara, one of the key cogs to this Saints offense, how he goes certainly will dictate in many forms and fashions how the Saints go. So Sean Payton, cut number six, was asked about the play count number for his running backs in preseason games.
Yeah. So, look, it's a little bit harder sometimes. You know, there's a play count number, and we take phases, you know, phase one's in, phase two's in, and then while we discuss those phases, we'll talk about, hey, I'd like to see this guy get this. I'd like to see, you know, it's a little bit harder at receiver, but we do try to, and then, you know, as the game's going, if for whatever reason, we talk about play count because, look, one side of the ball might get more of the second quarter than the other, so the other might stay on longer. But, yeah, when we talk tomorrow, we'd love to see this guy get a return. We'd love to see this guy, you know, see how he does in third down. We'd like to see, you know, how the protection is with this combination of players and, you know, what we can do with the linebackers. We try to map out what to expect.
Try to map it out, and he said just to be organized so we look like a football team and we're not with only 10 people on the field or 12 people on the field. You know, the Saints pick up Jared Cook, and he's been a rave during training camp so far. He keeps making those wow factor plays time and time again, and the chemistry that he and Drew Brees have developed in such a quick form and fashion is really great to see. They haven't had a tight end quite like this guy in quite some time, and Sean Payton talked about going back in time to see how to fully use Jared Cook.
Man, I saw real good film when he was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I saw real good film last year, and so anytime you're in free agency, you gather as much information as you can, and then when the player arrives, there's certain things you weren't aware of that are good, maybe sometimes weren't so good. In his case, it was all positive. He's a tremendous worker, dedicated, you know. I think someone who's, a true pro in every sense of the word, and I think that he's been a real good addition for us.
Real good addition. So they expect a lot out of Jared Cook. They're also hoping that Marcus Davenport, their first-round pick of a year ago, makes that quantum leap in year number two. Gifted athlete, no question about that. Was coming until he suffered the foot injury, and now it's year two. He's healthy, he's happy, and he takes things in from his teammates. He talked about the star of the defensive line, the All-Pro, Cam Jordan.
Cam is like the coach that you can't really turn off. But, you know, I say that lovingly because, you know, he's always there. You know, he's always trying to help me. And that's someone that, you know, when I have an idea and I can't get to my coach, I spitball it off of him.
Always good to learn from the guy that's next to you that's been there and done that. Another player that he's learned from, Marcus Davenport talked about Alex Okafor.
What I got from Alex the most was knowledge. You know, he was always in his film study and his playbook. You know, he knew the calls, he knew what to be prepared for, and he definitely helped me with that. You know, he taught me different, like, little tricks on film, and, you know, it translated.
So we'll see, as Friday approaches, how many veterans are going to play, who's going to sit out. You know, is there a reason to play Drew Brees? I don't think so. But, boy, there is a reason to play Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill because not so much for this year. You certainly hope that Drew Brees never gets hurt. But to help this coaching staff determine their future with the ball club because it's inevitable. It's, you know, he's going to retire eventually, and you got to have a plan in place. So Teddy Bridgewater, of course, played with Minnesota before, familiar with them. So expect a lot of time from him and from Taysom Hill. Again, I don't know if Drew Brees is going to play a series or a quarter or he's not going to play at all. I have no earthly clue. But Brees, Kamara, Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, sit out. Just sit out. Cam Jordan, I don't care. Marcus Lattimore, I don't care. Just be ready when they start playing for keeps, and it counts. I cannot afford to get those guys injured. So this is a chance to play all those other players as much as you can. And man, I've seen teams go winless in preseason games and end up making it to the playoffs and getting to the Super Bowl. So just really in the grand scheme of things. There's probably 48, maybe 49 positions locked in. It's not going to change. So you've got maybe four, maybe five spots available on this club. And that's what Sean Payton's trying to find. He's trying to find versatility, a guy that can play safety and is great in special teams, a wide receiver who can play special teams, can return, all those things, double dipping. Getting more bang for your buck. That's what they're looking for. So we'll talk with Larry Holder in hour number two about preseason games and whatnot with the New Orleans Saints. Many people say the Saints are going to the Super Bowl. Others say the Saints will be in a decline. They can't possibly match that 13-3. They can't possibly get over that hangover of the Rams game. Well, they got over the Minneapolis Miracle. And they got to the NFC Championship game, and then they were robbed. So I really don't buy into all of that. These are professionals. They're quick to forget. They move on. And according to all those that have been in attendance and watching, and you heard it from Sean Payton, their work ethic is outstanding. Their practice performance has been great. So translate that on the field when it counts. I don't care about preseason games at all. All right, I do care about LSU because they don't play a preseason game. They play for keeps. And hopefully this year, the Tigers typically lose one game each year they shouldn't. And hopefully they'll get off of that schneid this year. Could be great expectations. Could be a phenomenal season. Wilson Alexander of The Advocate tells what he's seen so far. Full pads today, separating the men from the boys. Next.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
And welcome back. ESPN's released their official power rankings. They've got LSU at number 7. The Tigers will play 5 teams in the top 25. Alabama's number 2. Florida number 9. Texas number 10. Texas A&M number 12. And Auburn number 16. So are the Tigers really that good? Well, Wilson Alexander of The Advocate has been out watching each and every practice with limited time to observe. And he's kind enough to join us to share his thoughts on this year's edition of Coach O's LSU Tigers. Wilson, thanks for the time. Nice to get you off the baseball field and onto the football field now.
It's definitely a bit of a change of pace. Much hotter this time of year watching football, that's for sure.
It really is. So give me, today they come out in full pads for the first time. They started on Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, what have you seen so far? Give us your bird's eye view.
Well, like you said, it's very limited time that we have out there, about maybe 20 minutes or so per day. But what I've seen so far is a couple of key guys missing through the first little bit of time through the first 4 days. Caleb Chaisson and Kristen Fulton and Grant Delpit all have what Coach O described this morning as minor injuries. So that's something just to kind of monitor, but they don't seem too concerned about it. And then on the offensive side, just how spread out the offense has been when they go into these passing drills, a lot of things in the shotgun, a lot of, you know, four or five wide receiver sets and getting the tight ends really over the middle, that kind of thing. That's what stood out to me so far.
How do they look physically to you?
What do you mean exactly?
Big, strong, in shape. How do they look?
They definitely look big and strong. Kalavon in particular, my goodness, his abs just like ripple when because he rolls up his shirt to show them off, and I can kind of understand why. He looks to be just jacked. They look to be, you know, in fine shape. Tommy Moffitt has had them, you know, all summer in that weight program, and they've been running a lot. They seem to be in pretty good condition. They definitely were feeling the heat a little bit yesterday. I think it was probably hotter than it's been the other days yesterday. They had that big, you know, sort of cooling tank out there. But they look pretty good. Tyler Shelvin and Apuaka are, two really big dudes, both about 345 pounds or so around there. But they seem to still be moving really well. And, yes, that's what LSU wants is in that position, big guys who can move well.
Yeah. Wilson Alexander, the Advocate, kind enough to join us. Coach O talked about it's the best chemistry of a coaching staff he's been around. I'm curious how Steve Ensminger, Joe Brady, you watch them at practice. How are they working with each other? How does that all float?
Well, in the portions of practice that we've been at, they haven't been, you know, right next to each other doing things in tandem. But that doesn't mean that they're not working, you know, together. That's just sort of the way, because Joe Brady is really looking over the passing offense. Mm-hmm. He's standing in front of the quarterbacks, around the quarterbacks, directing things happening when they're an individual. Jill's just throwing, you know, on air. And that's where Brady's kind of been, and he's standing, and directing all that. And then Ensminger the other day was looking at the offensive line. He's been sort of bouncing around the different offensive position groups, whereas Brady's much more entrenched with the quarterbacks and different aspects of the passing game.
It seems like he's brought the screen game from the New Orleans Saints over. From what I'm told, practice starts with screen passes to running backs, receivers, and the tight ends. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, they. It's interesting. My partner on the beat, Brooks Cabina, he had a story just out within the last hour and a half or so, about how they're really getting the running backs involved in the passing game a lot more. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been watching Alvin Kamara film on his phone because they are trying to get the ball, those running backs, in space as much as they can. And it's, you know, an easy play to get the running back, you know, the football out in the flat or something like that. It's much easier throw, so more high percentage throw. So they've been working on that a good bit.
Well, so how's John Emery Jr. looking? He's the most heralded running back in this class. From your observation so far, does it look the part?
I mean, he definitely has the size. He fills out that jersey really well. There was a play that he posted onto one of his social media accounts that I don't know how he made it out of the backfield because the offensive line was just collapsing, but he made a couple cuts and then took off for a touchdown in one of the team periods that LSU had the other day. He looked really explosive in that play, able to move well in small spaces. It's going to be interesting to see how much he really plays because they like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They still like Leonard Fournette, but, you know, Emery seems extremely talented. Just curious, you know, they're going to go a lot of running back kind of committee, it seems, so it's going to be interesting to see how much touches he gets.
Yeah, one anonymous coach said that they have enough running backs to supply two teams and quite adequately. So that's always a positive. But how do you find playing time for all of them, right? Wilson Alexander of the Advocate, we know about Joe Burrow. It's his team. I'm curious as what you've seen from Miles Brennan. Does he look like he's put on the weight that they profess? And Peter Parrish, what have you seen from him, the third stringer right now?
Well, it's tough for me to really be able to speak to if Miles looks like he's put on more weight because I wasn't covering the team last year. But in terms of how he looks now, I mean, he looks the part of a college quarterback, at least. I don't know how that compares to last season exactly, but he's making really good throws in those individual periods. He seems to have a command of what, you know, they want to do. He doesn't seem like, you know, he's swimming out there Parrish is still getting a hold of things. They said that athletically he's really gifted, broke off a 60-yard run on the first day of practice. He's still getting his throws down, you know, still trying to get a little bit more accurate, better touch on his deep balls and such. But athletically, he's extremely gifted.
Extremely gifted. Very good. Very good. Wide receiver position. We know what Justin Jefferson did. Apparently, they're moving him into the slot. What have you seen from Terrace Marshall and Ja'Marr Chase? Are you of the camp that believes they're ready for to make that big leap and to be very significant contributors this year?
I think so. I mean, they're right there. With Marshall in particular, like, he wasn't healthy a lot last year. You know, had a couple of different injuries, and that hampered him, especially cut on his speed, which is, you know, made him such an intriguing prospect, the way he was able to stretch the field. But he's healthy now, and he's been running with the ones a lot, so is Chase. And they seem ready to take over. And what's interesting about the wide receivers is the way that they're teaching them now in this new offense is it's not just like, okay, you're going to learn the X position, you're going to learn the slot. They're learning different concepts that are applicable throughout a formation. So they don't necessarily, so like Jefferson's been working in the slot, but he might not play there like every single snap. You know, they can shift these guys around,
right,
move them across the formation and get them in space and create matchup problems for the defense.
We know Devin White is gone. Four linebackers in the initial Butkus Award watch list. That's unheard of. They must be pretty good in unison. That might be a strong point of this club, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it could be, for sure. It's going to be interesting with Divinity moving inside, how he takes on that role, you know, with Devin White leaving. There's still a little bit of a battle for the other inside linebacker spot, and maybe that's part of why there's four of them on that watch list, because they haven't, you know, crowned that other starter, but they're also talented. I mean, Patrick Queen, and he's, you know, competing for a spot. Oates said this morning, Demond Clark, you know, could make a run at one of those inside linebacker positions. They're really talented on that side of the ball, that's for sure. I mean, it doesn't look like they have, like, a major deficiency on defense. There's maybe a little bit more question marks at linebacker just because they haven't named, you know, every single starter. They're not going to until, like, you know, close to the first game. But, it's a deep group right there.
I'm of the camp. Look, I think it's obvious if you ask – anybody, if you had one quarterback to pick out of the SEC, who would you pick? Everybody would pick Tua. If you had a wide receiver, they'd pick Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. If you had a running back, maybe DeAndre Swift from Georgia. If you could pick one defense that you were to hang your hat on out of this conference, I'm picking LSU. I really think they're going to be good. I think they've got the people up front now. I think they've got people in the back end. And I think Kalyvon Chaisson makes all the difference in the world. I'm hanging my hat on LSU's defense. Who are you hanging yours on out of the league?
Is somebody else talking?
No, it's all you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I heard some other voices. I mean, it's tough. I think you could definitely make an argument for LSU. What would attract me to picking LSU in that scenario, you know, in that argument, is the secondary with Delpit and Stevens and Kristen Fulton and Derek Stingley, who they have been absolutely raved about Stingley. Grant Delpit saying that he's more advanced as a freshman than Delpit was coming in. You know, and obviously Delpit started as a freshman and then he became a unanimous All-American as a sophomore. And they're super high on Stingley. And then they've got some guys behind them who are good, and, you know, Marcel Brooks and Kerry Vincent. And, you know, they're so deep in that position group that that's what would attract me to defense. Would I hang my hat on them? I don't know. I don't know enough about the rest of the SEC, but I think you can definitely feel comfortable hanging your hat on them and what you get out there.
I haven't asked this yet, but I'm gonna ask you. Have you seen Cade York? Have you seen him kick the ball, or are they available to watch?
It's funny, the way that the Advocate kind of splits up our, because we do have, you know, a fair number of people covering the team. It's myself, it's Brooks, Sheldon Mickles, you know, Scott Rabelais. And so I'm assigned to look at the kickers and the linebackers and the corners during practice at the very beginning and make sure everybody's there.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, then we sort of rotate around and look at everything. But the kickers and the specialists and all them go inside. You don't ever see them. So we haven't seen Cade York kick because they go off immediately out of sight. So we haven't seen them kicking at all, but we have heard, you know, ask questions about them. LSU's confident in him. Zach Von Rosenberg spoke this weekend and, you know, had a lot of complimentary things to say about Cade. His routine is, you know, he's very dedicated to his routine every day, and he's just kind of the ability to strike the ball and really get it up in the air is what Zach said.
Okay. Wilson Alexander, the Advocate. I'm curious. We know that Dennis Johnson is broke some bones, and he's unable to basically coach at this point in time. You got Christian Lockacher, a former player. How big of a role has Coach O played so far to date with that defensive line in practice?
Particularly during the individual drills at the beginning, quite a lot. He is right there in those guys, and he is screaming at them when they're messing up, which, you know, you would expect from Coach Orgeron. And, I mean, he is heavily, heavily involved with the defensive line and with those outside linebackers, you know, who are going to be more pass rushing. And, I mean, he's right in their face. He's directing a lot of drills. He's kind of telling Christian Lockacher and Kenneth Udizi, like, what to do a little bit, while also trying to stand back and not be so down in the weeds that he's not able to see the full picture. That's going to be kind of a challenge for him this year, because his natural tendency is to go coach the defensive line, having played the position. But definitely at the very beginning of practice, he's very hands-on with that position group.
He loves it, doesn't he? I mean, that's what he's made for. He is.
Yeah, I mean, that's who he is. That's as a football player is all that. And I mean, he seems to really enjoy it when he's out there. As much as he can enjoy, when players like sometimes mess up and he has to get on them.
Yeah, oh, that's part of it, man. That's part of it. So the honeymoon period for some of these rookies is over. Now welcome to the real world. We all go through it as athletes. So that's it. So full pads today. Do they have their first preseason game this weekend? Is that what's coming up?
Yeah, they'll be scrimmaging this weekend on Saturday.
On Saturday. All right. Well, stay hydrated, and appreciate your time, my friend. Really do. Now go make sure those kickers are there before they scurry away from you, because they're afraid of you, Wilson. I'm telling you, they are.
Oh, I'm sure I strike such fear into people.
Thanks for your time, buddy. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jordy. Hey, man, have a great day.
All right. You too. You're more than welcome. Full pads. Yes, indeed. Isn't that amazing? They send the kickers indoors. Interesting. I don't know why, but they have a reason for it. And they still have that big Paul Boudreau's got his big cool-down area. It's that big complex where it's like sub-zero. And they go in there and they bring their body temperature down quickly. They get hydrated. They are very, very vigilant and diligent in their care for players. Can't suffer these injuries. You can't suffer these pulls and tears and all that stuff. Now, you got to keep these players as safe as is humanly possible in a sport that exudes injury. It just does. It's physical. It's contact. It's all the time. And it's only going to ramp up more. So you see Delpit and Fulton and Chason missing practice. Now they're putting full pads on. Now we'll see. Jack Marucci and company will be very, very busy. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the LSU Tigers next here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, back with you. 52 minutes and some change after the hour. A couple of little baseball notes. Zach Greinke on the bump for the Houston Astros tonight. And a former LSU pitcher has been claimed off waivers from the Atlanta Braves. The Cincinnati Reds picked up right-hander Kevin Gausman on Monday. He's 28 years old. He pitched well down the stretch for Atlanta last season, but boy, he struggled this year. He's got a 3-7 record with a 6.19 ERA in 16 starts. He's had two trips to the injured list, so he just hadn't been healthy. He gave up 5 runs in 4 2/3 innings against the Reds on Friday. So the Braves acquired Gausman from the Orioles at the 2018 trade deadline. He was the 4th pick in the 2012 draft. He's 47-61 overall with a 4.30 ERA in 7 years in the bigs that began with Baltimore in 2013. He's not eligible for free agency until after the 2020 season. Here's hoping Kevin Gausman can get healthy and get right. Back to LSU football. You know, I'm looking at the schedule, and Georgia Southern starts things off, and then there's that trip to Austin and to take on the Texas Longhorns. And I think about it, and I don't know why everybody's so – I do know why they're so hyped up on Texas, because they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. You think Georgia was hyped up to play that game after losing in the SEC championship? Do you think they were hyped up for that? No way. No way. So Texas wins it 28-21. So if Texas doesn't win that one, they're not a top 20 team to start the season. They've only got 5 starters back on offense. They've just got 2 starters back on defense. So, you know, it's certainly the onus is on Texas, and LSU's going to be is favored and will be favored in that game on the road. So I'm not so scared about the Texas Longhorns. But every year it seems like, for whatever reason, LSU loses a game that they shouldn't. In 2018, it was Florida, 27-19. 1 week later, what does LSU do? They beat number 2 Georgia, 36-16. No way they should have lost to Florida. No way. But Florida this year, Auburn, Texas A&M, at Mississippi State, now those are tough games, and those are spoiler-like games on LSU's schedule. So focus will always be the key. It is a marathon. You got to take it 1 week at a time. All the cliches, but it's true. They've got to stay focused, and that's why it's so important in practice right now, where you get hot, you get tired, rep after rep, you get bored, rep after rep, but you got to focus and you got to stay the course, because that's how you train yourself for down the road. So we know Texas has lost a lot of players. They got a good quarterback, no question about that, but boy, they got a lot of holes to fill. LSU doesn't. LSU's a veteran ball club, coming off a 10-win season. They're a veteran club. Alabama, I know they reload every season, but boy, they're inexperienced in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Now, they recruit at a premium level, but still, you're counting on so many young kids. This could be the year that LSU can take advantage of a long-awaited opportunity. It's right there for the taking. It really is. Stay healthy, stay hungry. As Coach O says, block out the noise and get lots of rest in those sleep pads, whatever it is. Everything's there. And like Coach O said, as much is given, much is expected. And a lot is expected out of LSU this year. Hour number one's in the books. We've got recruiting news of basketball in hour number 2, more on the Saints, birthday wishes, and a day in the history books that we'll never forget. It's all coming your way. Hour number 2, the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number 1 sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back, everybody.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go on a Tuesday, the 6th day of August, the year 2019. Great to be with you. Busy second hour planned for you. We'll talk about recruiting. Will Wade gets a big. Billy Embiidy will join us from Go247 Sports. Saints have the day off, getting ready for their preseason opener Friday against the Minnesota Vikings. Larry Holder from The Athletic will join us as well as we talk all things New Orleans Saints. But as we do each and every day at this time of day, we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD, Tom Brady and his wife Giselle have placed their Brookline, Massachusetts home on the market for $39.5 million. I thought Brady just got a bump of nearly $8 million a year on his contract. Is Giselle dropping off the modeling market? What's the deal?
I don't know if it's her dropping off the modeling market, Jordy. You got to think about it. That might be them trying to make a whole lot of little extra scratch. When you think about it, maybe just get rid of that house to be just stay in one main house, because they know the time is running out. Because the craziest thing is, Jordy, you got to bump up and pay, yes. But at the same time, he could very well still be a free agent in 2020 based off of some of the verbiage in that contract. That's the wildest part of this entire thing.
Yeah. Isn't it? You think he was shooting some salvos toward the Falcons? I think they said the average of his contract, if they went through it all, would be $28.3 million. 28.3. You get it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. How can you not love that, Jordy? It's absolutely fantastic. Just the right amount of salt towards the Atlanta Falcons. You definitely need a little bit more of that in their lives of everything that's happened, Jordy. But, of course, I mean, that was definitely one of the biggest things that popped up yesterday in my mind, was the fact Tom Brady is apparently still going to be – could very well still be a free agent. Is that the wildest thing to you, Jordy?
He ain't going nowhere. Yeah. He's going to be a New England – he's going to be the Kobe Bryant of the NFL. He's going to stay with one team, and that's going to be all she wrote. That's it.
And you bring up Kobe Bryant, I feel like he'll be – Kobe Bryant, the only difference is, like, there was no real downturn in his career. Because, I mean, you look at Kobe Bryant, especially the last, like, 5-6 years of it, he should have retired, like, a little bit earlier than he did. It felt like he hung around a little bit too long. I feel like he'll hang out for the right amount of time and then wrap it up with the Pats.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Look. They've got the easiest division in football, and they've had the easiest division his entire career. So they're guaranteed to be in the playoffs every year. But when he gets there, he's won his share. So good for him. CD, do I have to worry about you moving to Brookline, Massachusetts?
No.
$39.5 million. Come on.
Don't worry about me going to that part of the world. At least not yet, obviously. You know, things could happen. But as of right now, I'm saying no.
Okay, good deal. I feel relieved by that. Next.
Next up, Jordy, I think one of the cool things that happened today, without a doubt, is former LSU Tiger Cavell Bigby Williams, an Exhibit 10 deal. This is coming from Keith Smith. You can follow him on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA. This was originally reported a while back by our guy Andrew Lopez before, you know, the whole NOLA.com thing. But that's something just to kind of keep an eye on. But how huge is that to have, obviously, Cavell Bigby Williams and get a big chance to get some things done?
Well, look, he took advantage of his opportunity in the summer league with the Pelicans. He showed his versatility, showed he was able to run the floor, showed he was able to protect the rim, showed a little bit of offensive skills. You know, when you're close to 7 feet tall and can do all those kind of things, somebody's going to give you an opportunity. Can't coax size, so good for him.
It's going to be great to see what happens with him and with the New Orleans Pelicans, and the fact he's just a whole new-look team, and everybody's just absolutely positively looking forward to what this franchise winds up doing going forward, and it's largely because of Zion Williamson But who else do you think is going to be a big factor in that success, just in terms of players on the team?
Well, it's going to be Jrue Holiday and it's going to be Zion. That's it. Plain and simple. Now, that, look, you're going to have to get some help along the way, obviously. But, look, they're hoping Lonzo Ball gets away from the shadow of LeBron, as does Brandon Ingram. And they hope that those two that were highly drafted, highly coveted, live up to the billing that was expected of them early. It hasn't come yet, but maybe a change of scenery and get out of that shadow, that ever-large, looming shadow of LeBron, elevates their play. So lots of question marks, and we'll see. Time will tell.
Exactly. Time will tell. We're going to see what happens right there. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, it feels like just every day there's a new headline about the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the latest, besides the fact Zeke Elliott saying he won't play unless he gets a contract extension. But other rumors coming out from the NFL Network, Jordy, that there's generous contract offers on the table for Prescott, Elliott, and Amari Cooper, putting them in the top five highest paid players at their respective positions. And again, using the word generous here, will it be generous enough, though, to get these guys, especially a guy like Zeke Elliott that feels like he probably deserves a whole lot more money than most would probably give him?
Look, some owners really, really, really want to win. Other owners really don't care. They just are looking at the economics of things. Jerry Jones wants to win, and Jerry Jones is one of the wealthiest owners in sports. Jerry Jones is going to pay him, and by damn the luxury tax and all that stuff, he's going to pay him because he wants to win, and he knows the last time he won, he had the triplets. He's hoping that these triplets are going to do the same thing for him, so he'll get them paid.
It's going to be interesting, Jordy, to say the least. But one other thing I want to talk about is, without a doubt, the NBA and a big signing that recently happened with CJ McCollum getting paid big bucks, Jordy. Isn't he worth the amount of money he's getting for the Portland Trailblazers?
You know, none of those players are worth all of that unless they bring people to the seats. Portland always sells out. They love their basketball there. It's a one major league franchise city. Basketball. That's all they have. So they've got Damian Lillard. They got CJ McCollum. That's their backcourt. They want to keep them there forever. So to that franchise, to that ownership group, to that city, they're worth it. So I'm all happy for him to getting paid. Plain and simple.
It's exactly, Jordy. I'm in the same boat as you are. A little fun here for a minute, Jordy. Earlier today, over the weekend, in fact, you had Baker Mayfield shotgunning beers with cameras on them, and it was entertaining as all get out. But the 4Letter Network decided to have even more fun getting Stone Cold Steve Austin on their morning program to kind of grade out the performances of Baker Mayfield, Aaron Rodgers, Christian Yelich. And I love the fact that he was having a whole lot of fun kind of bring it up, and he's had a lot of great things to say about Baker Mayfield, putting him way over, saying he's 24 years old. He's very composed. When he looks back at some of the things he was doing, saying, thinking when he was 24, he's way more advanced than I am, the leader of that franchise, and that rallies behind him. They love him, his energy, his charisma, the way he comes off. He's never been plan A. He always had to work, and he just loves the fact this guy is just really showing off early on in his career.
Well, you know, you ask Baker, what's the one thing you'd like to take back? He says, I'd never run from the police again. Yes. He had that incident. Look, he's been here. He's been there. He's been everywhere. He wins. He's the kind of player that other players want to play with. But again, in Cleveland, how long is that going to last if the wheels go spinning the other way and they start losing games with the high-profile people they have on that squad? But I like Baker Mayfield. I always have. I loved watching him in college. He's a better, more disciplined, more focused Johnny Manziel. And I loved Johnny Manziel when he was at A&M. Like, he was fun to watch, but this guy's better, obviously. So good for Baker Mayfield. Anybody's better than Aaron Rodgers when it comes to down in beers. There you go. Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef, best hot sauce on the planet. The B-Art family, bring a little small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Do yourself a flavor. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. We'll talk the big fish that Will Wade just landed next.
who's got game, and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, the next big thing at LSU is a big center from Florida Southwestern Junior College, the latest commitment to Coach Will Wade. Anytime there's a recruiting situation, we go to our source, and that is Billy Embody of Go247 Sports with the very latest. Billy, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm terrific. So you said that Will Wade was working on some bigs, and we'd have an announcement pretty soon. So Deshaun Thomas, what do you know about this kid?
Well, he's teammates with LSU signee Charles Manning, who was in the 2019 class and is on campus already. And actually on his Instagram, he put it out that he was coming and it had a picture with Will Wade and the assistants. And certainly, Charles Manning was there doing some recruiting. But, he's a 6'9", 235-pound big man. He's physical. He can run and certainly add some physicality to the roster for LSU in a position of need.
Numbers don't say an awful lot about him. 6.9 points, 4.3 rebounds, 1.7 blocks. Seems to me this is a guy that's going to be a reinforcement, come off the bench, some muscle, some interior size, kind of a foul giver. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a piece that's more of a 10 to 15 minute guy, somebody who certainly comes off the bench. If you look at some of his 40 minute numbers, so if he played 40 minutes a game, they're really, really strong, which is kind of similar to the way Cabell Bigby Williams was coming out of junior college before he went to Oregon and then ended up at LSU. I don't think there's going to be high expectations for him, but he's physical. He actually moves pretty well. And can get going in the paint for LSU when maybe Ammon Williams and Darius Days and Trendon Watford need a breather.
Right, 6'9", 235. I'll take that. Particularly if you can run. It's never good to have bigs that slow you down. So apparently, with your assessment, he can get out and get after it. And it looks like it's going to be a high tempo type of a team. So that's good. Will Wade still has – is he going to be able to go participate in Spain, or is that out of the question?
I think that's to be determined right now. I think he's committed right now, and then if they can get him in the next probably 10 days or however many days it is before they get off the ground and head to Spain, they'll bring him along because it would be a huge benefit for him to get some time over there.
Yeah, no question. Will still has one scholarship available. Does he use it? Does he put it in his back pocket? What do you think?
No, I'm not sure right now. I think he'd love to add another piece to the roster, maybe somebody that could sit out. That would be an option. But right now it's just kind of up in the air. He could play the long game and look for a mid-year type transfer to sit out and hope that maybe you get some sort of waiver where, if they didn't play much in the first part of the season, then they can be eligible right away in 2019-2020. But I would say all options are on the table right now, but I think they'd like to add another piece before the season.
He is Billy Embody, Go247 Sports. You're heavily involved in recruiting, basketball, football, the Nike. What if it's a dead period for football right now. What have you heard? What has been the reaction of that renovation to the LSU football ops building? What are recruits saying about that?
I've heard everything from one of a kind to best in the country to this is just everything positive you could imagine. That's what's been communicated. Everybody's had rave reviews. One of the prospects even said, I almost took a little nap there on the visit in the locker room pod and tried it out.
What do you attribute? Look, this is a team that won 10 games. Yeah, they beat UCF in a bowl game. What do you attribute this success on the recruiting path and that LSU has had to date with going all over the country? And in all likelihood, they're going to have 80 to maybe 90% of their class filled and signed by the early signing period, if everything goes according to plan.
I think it's just a product of a staff that is definitely nationally well-connected. I mean, Dave Aranda started on the West Coast at one time. Ed Ogeron was out there. Bill Bush has been kind of all over. Corey Raymond has plenty of ties in South Florida. Joe Brady's from South Florida. He's also been at Penn State. He's been, all over. And then you look at this kind of the LSU brand and what they've built over the last few years. As it's been building under Ed Ogeron, they've been able to, recruit more nationally. And that's something I think that Ed Ogeron is actually really comfortable doing. I know the whole Louisiana first is a big thing, but Ed's really comfortable. It's just a national recruiter.
Yeah. Where does this class of Louisiana high school football players, how does it rank? Is it a normal year? Is it a substandard year? Is it a great year? How do you rate it?
You know, I think it's a year that has a lot of depth to it. I mean, when you're looking at the rankings in Louisiana and you look down the list and you're getting to the 30s and there are guys that are going Power 5, it speaks to kind of the depth of prospects in the state. Mm-hmm. I think outside of Jaquelin Roy and maybe I would say Kayshawn Boutte, there's probably not that super, super high-end prospect like there was being nationally recognized, like Derek Stingley, like Cardell Thomas, John Emery, that had that absolute clout nationally. Down just a little bit this year.
Billy Embiid, Go 247 Sports, kind enough to join us. The big story, DeSean Thomas, 6'9", 235, from Florida Southwestern Junior College, fills a spot on Will Wade's roster for this season. Back to football, one of those coveted players from a year ago was Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver. He was hurt his senior season, still ranked as, even though he didn't play, still ranked one of the top two, three receivers in the country. Is he ready to break out? Is this kid ready to go and become a key integral factor in this LSU offense, in your opinion?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I really think so. He's somebody that put in the work in the off season. I mean, just sitting there and talking with him on Saturday, you can tell he didn't miss much time in the weight room. He's got a big chest to him now. He didn't necessarily have that coming out of high school, so you can see kind of that development just, growing into a man. And I think him and Jamar Chase are both going to be outstanding. I think Terrace more so had the question mark of last year adjusting to college life and coming off of that really devastating injury. And now he's 100% and he's taken over that outside spot opposite of Chase. And then they moved Justin Jefferson to the slot. So, I mean, he's poised for big things. All three of them are.
I like Jefferson in the slot, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's a really natural fit for him. He's a really good route runner. He's not somebody that's necessarily relied always on his speed, which he has some, but he doesn't have that elite level of speed. And so anytime you're working out of the slot at that position, route running's key, and I think that's something that Joe Brady really likes out of him. And they'll use him, to create some mismatches. I mean, he's going to be he's the team's leading receiver last year, and now you're going to put him at the slot where you could see a safety, you could see a nickel, could see, catch him at the right time, you could see a linebacker on him. It'll be a bunch of different things.
Yeah, that's the guy you get it to when you want to get rid of it quickly. Who's the guy that takes the top off the defense this year for LSU?
I think it's probably Marshall. I think Jamar's got some of that speed too, but I mean, even coming out of high school, he didn't have that 4.4 type speed, but I would say it's probably more Terrace. But look, both of them can make big plays, and both are really polishing up as far as route runners even. So I could see, both of them being deep threats, really.
Billy Embiid, Go 247 Sports. Do you see another second-year player who struggled as a freshman, one because it was a change in environment, the speed of the game, the already having an established player at his position? Do you see another player making a significant leap and becoming a huge contributor where last year he wasn't?
You know, I think it's a good question. I would think somebody like Chason Hines, if he can get healthy. You know, he sat behind Garrett Brumfield a little bit last year. The thing about this team is they're just so veteran. You know, if you look around the roster, there's not many second-year guys outside of Marshall and Chase that just jump out at you as you know, guys you had expectations for as true freshmen, and then you know, just for whatever reason they weren't a huge part of it. And so I think Hines, if he gets healthy, he can very well win that starting left guard spot from Adrian McGee. I think that would be a natural progression for him. And it'll just be a thing as to whether he can get healthy enough to compete and overtake him, you know, by the start of the season, I would think. And I think that's a spot that even as the season gets going, they'll kind of evaluate. But when you look at this team, there's just so much depth. There's not really that many just sophomore guys that just stand out as, somebody who's going to break out.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Saints, right? They've got such a veteran squad. Very few positions are up for grabs, and that bodes well. We'll just see how these newcomers can back up these veterans and provide quality depth if injuries occur and if and when fatigue occurs during the course of a long season. All right, Billy, so a good pickup for Will Wade. DeShawn Thomas gives him some more size, some more bulk. And we'll see what happens from here. You going to Spain? Have you worked that deal out yet?
No, not going to Spain, unfortunately. Could not swing it.
Let me put a call in for you. Let's see if we can get that thing comped for you, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I know you got that pull, Jordy. You'll take care of me.
We'll figure it out, my friend. Anything for you. Thanks for the time, as always. Job well done. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Appreciate it. Anytime, man.
All right, you're the best. That's Billy Embody, our go-to source for recruiting from Go247 Sports here on the Jordy Hultberg Show. Saints have the day off, so we're going to get Larry Holder to talk about what he's seen so far as the Saints get ready for their preseason opener Friday against the Vikings. That's next, the Jordy Hultberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
An off day, but Larry Holder of The Athletic is kind enough to join us while the Saints take a little respite away from training camp. And Larry of The Athletic is with us now. As the Saints getting ready for their preseason opener, hey, against the Minnesota Vikings. Larry, I know you're looking forward to that.
Oh, sure. You know, one of the most exciting games of the year, that, the fourth preseason game, throw it all together, and it's all you need. There's no other reason to buy tickets. You'll see some of the starters play that game. And I think... to me, though, these preseason games, sure, you're looking at, you know, roster spots in certain areas and rookies and this and that. And yet I'll actually go into these preseason games with maybe a little more intrigue than in previous years, just because I think that people are going to be curious to see more than just a Week 17 mop-up duty. Let's see Teddy Bridgewater play.
Yes.
Let's see Taysom Hill play a half at quarterback. And so, you know, because these are going to be really the trial grounds for these guys to see what do they do in the future as far as at quarterback, because who knows how long Drew Brees is going to play.
No question. Larry Holder, you always come up with – you always predict the final 53-man roster year after year after year. Is this going to be a tough one for you this year?
Yeah, I've done one. I'm actually going to do one after each preseason game, judging basically what happens. And I don't think it's going to be – we know who the starters are. We know a lot of the roster. But do I think there's some tough cuts to come? Sure. I think there's certainly battles at wide receiver. I think interior offensive line, and well, actually all of offensive lines, because I think you want to know what's going to happen along the edges as far as backing up Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk. I think the secondary is going to be an intriguing battle to watch. I feel like they've got a lot more depth and quality players there than maybe what we've seen in the past, because it used to be so bad for so many years.
Yeah.
Defensive line too. So it's more about depth. You're not worried about, all right, who's going to start. You're worried about, okay, who's going to back these guys up in case somebody goes down. So in that case, it's definitely tricky, but they're so talented and top-heavy laden with so many good players. In that sense, it's not as difficult.
Why do all these national pundits keep saying the Saints are going to be a team that slips? Why, what are they basing that on?
They're basing it on assuming that Drew Brees is going to slip, I'm sure. And if they think they can't get over what happened with the no call, this, that, the other. And I always present the argument, well, they got over the Minneapolis miracle. They beat Minneapolis, beat Minnesota in Minneapolis. They got to the NFC Championship game, and something happened that wasn't their fault. And I think it's probably a little more challenging to get over something that is your fault. That's just my opinion, but it's part of that. Just because of the nature of the NFL, it's not often where you steadily go NFC divisional round, NFC championship game, Super Bowl. You know, it doesn't always line up that way. Rarely does it line up that way. So I get where they're coming from, and it's part of this is the narrative of, oh, can't get over this. No, nope, Drew Brees getting old. Oh, this, that, the other. So, it's boring to talk about the same teams winning every year. So, of course, some people have to try to spin it certain other ways.
Larry Holder, the athlete, always putting the proper perspective on things. But does Drew Brees have to play all-world Drew Brees for this team to reach their goal? Or is there enough around him where he doesn't have to carry the load?
I think it's the latter, and we've seen it the last couple of years. And, Jordy, I'm glad you brought that up. Quick teaser, over the next day or so, I'm going to be doing a pretty in-depth story on Drew Brees at 40 years old.
Okay.
And diving into a bunch of numbers of what happened last year and certain points. That's a big hot topic around New Orleans. And, but he doesn't have to be. I mean, He last year, he threw for the fewest amount of yards that we can really remember. He didn't even hit the 4,000-yard mark, yet he had a 115 passer rating, which is the highest passer rating he's had in his career in a single season. I mean, he threw the fewest interceptions, but still threw 32 touchdowns. It's 74% completion percentage, crushing his single-season record that he's had over and over and over again. So... You add all that up, and no, Drew Brees doesn't have to have 500 completions in a season, you know, something absurd like that. Like, you don't need to do that. Now, the pieces around him, do they have to play stout? Sure. I mean, does Alvin Kamara have to probably carry a little bit more load than he's been accustomed to? Yeah. Does Michael Thomas need to be Michael Thomas? Yeah. Does Jared Cook need to be a stud guy? Yeah. Offensive line, like, all these pieces have to be in place for that. And so, it's contingent on that. But if all those things work, which we've seen work literally the past 2 years, then Drew just needs to pick his spots and get them in the right situations to win. And how many times has he done that in the last 2 years? Plenty.
Yeah. Larry Holder, The Athletic. We know about Michael Thomas. He's back. You got to see him when he first came back to practice. Is he the same Michael Thomas as always?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy missed less than a calendar week of practice.
Right,
so it was a nothing. And honestly, it really wasn't a big storyline.
Right.
Why that he was missing. I mean, you knew what why. You knew he was in good shape. Like, none of that was a concern. He was not going down to Cabo with his former teammate, Zeke Elliott. You know, he's not doing any of that. He's ready to roll. And so he comes back ready to roll, got the money that he wanted, deservedly so. And, yeah, I think he's actually looking even more forward to this year. A, his paycheck, you know, that's going to be nice. Well, the upfront money, his paycheck will be kind of the same, but he's getting a whole bunch of money, I'm sure, right now. But right. I think he's looking forward to another year with, say, a Kamara. Jared Cook, boy, he's looking forward to playing with him. And I can tell you he's playing really well at training camp so far, wowing basically every day. He's had some wow moments with Drew. That's just another piece that they didn't have last year, even the year before, a viable weapon at tight end. So I think he's looking forward to that. And even more so now than ever, you know, of course he wants his touches, he wants production, but now he's gotten paid. Okay, it's like that's the next step. Now he's hell-bent on winning. Like, let's win a Super Bowl. Let's be awesome. That's the type of guy he is. Like, he's not this diva holdout crazy guy that, like, people might have thought by holding out for 5 days. That's not the guy, I'm telling you. I've gotten to know him for 3 years. That's not the guy. So he's hell-bent on winning, I can tell you that.
Larry Holder joining us. Is Ted? How's Ted Ginn Jr.? We keep talking about the guy that takes the top off the defense. He's still fast. How's Ted Ginn Jr. doing?
Oh, I mean, he's still that guy. Like, he's still got wheels. He's certainly going to be that element of this offense. Now, I know in 2017 he played actually a bigger role maybe than he thought. Is that going to be the same thing? Probably not as much, just because, you know, Kamara's more entrenched in the offense. You have a tight end. So I don't think they're going to have to lean as heavily on Ted Ginn. It'll be actually probably more of a Devery Henderson type where let's take some shots. Like, you're not asking – Devery was never asked to catch 60, 70 balls a year. Maybe Ted won't be asked to do that this year either. But that's okay. I mean, that's, you know, he's an element you got to pay attention to. If you leave him open, I mean, Drew's going to hit him, despite the narrative that I guess Drew Brees can't throw the ball any farther than 5 yards anymore. People think it's like he's got a rag arm. I don't know. But still, Ted Ginn is going to be that guy. They sorely missed him last year. They had no deep threat for more than half the year last year.
Right.
They sorely missed that. He's there. He's ready. And, yeah, he's going to be an element to this offense, no question.
He is Larry Holder of The Athletic. I kind of wonder your thoughts. You're quite the historian, and you follow this so very, very well. I go back to that trio of Marcus Colston, Sproles, and Jimmy Graham, and I look at the new tight end that Drew Brees has and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. Which trio do you like better?
Well, Kamara's better than Sproles. Michael Thomas is better than Colston. I'm not going to say Jared Cook's better than Jimmy Graham, but I'm going to take the current version of it because they're more talented in two of those spots. And Jared Cook, I mean, he's, you know, their focal point's not going to be on him. Actually, Jimmy Graham, there was more focal point on him in those years than, say, Cook will be this year. And so I think, you know, you sleep on Cook, boy, he's going to bite you. So, look, I'd say this trio now. I mean, it's, though Colston's best receiver in NFL in Saints history, I'm sure Michael Thomas is going to pass him since he's not going anywhere for a while. But still, I'd say talent-wise, I'd have to give this current trio the nod.
Colston had Lance Moore. He had, what, Devery Henderson. Does Thomas have the same? I mean, that was a deep, deep group back then. Does Michael Thomas have that same kind of talent and depth to help him at the wide receiver position?
I'd say no, not right now. I think they're developing wide receivers still. You know, who's after Ginn, I think, is anybody's guess. Traquan Smith would probably be the guy I'd say right now. He's had a, even though it's, you haven't heard his name a ton probably in coverage, but to me, I think he's had a pretty good chance. Keith Kirkwood has been banged up a little bit. So I think, you know, he was a fringe guy. He didn't make the team last year. He had to jump off the practice squad. So his roster spot isn't some given. So I think they're trying to see what they have at wide receiver. But, you know, the ultimate answer to that, to me, is that they actually have a threat at tight end. So I think that's a little bit different than what we saw in the past, and not quite the same as, say, the 11 Saints or the 2009 Saints when you had that throw Robert Meacham in there, that quartet of wide receivers.
Yeah.
But no, they don't. It's not the same, particularly at that position. So that's something that they're trying to figure out through training camp and the preseason.
Larry Holder, The Athletic, kind of joins us. Have you seen the Yahoo Sports deal on what table would you sit at? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. What is that?
It's a deal where they have 10 tables and they have three people at each table, and you get to pick which one you think would be the most intriguing. They have, like, Mike Leach, LeBron James, and Ellen DeGeneres at a table. They've got The Rock, Greg Popovich, and Serena Williams at one. They've got Guy Fieri, the cooking guy, Bill Belichick, and Megan Rapinoe. And I just thought, you know, if Larry Holder could sit down at a table with three New Orleans Saints, it could be from ownership all the way down to the equipment manager. Who are the three most intriguing people on this squad for you that you'd like to sit and break bread with and just get to know better?
Ooh, three New Orleans Saints. Okay. That I'd like to get to know better, or just intriguing in general?
Just to have fun with. You think it'd be fun to sit down and just break bread, drink a bottle of wine, and have some fun?
All right, I'd go Cam Jordan. Definitely, he's definitely on that list. Cam Jordan. Ooh, let me hop around. Let's see. But I'd like to say, let's see. I'll go DeMario Davis.
Ooh, okay.
And let's throw in Taysom Hill. Let's throw that in. Let's get some, Taysom, you know, we all know his story, but yeah, he's a, I think there's such intrigue there. So, yeah, I'll go those three off the top of my head. Here's the thing. I could probably give you, like, eight different versions of that. Mix and match would probably be fun.
Would you rather sit at the table of Nick Saban, Taylor Swift, and Steph Curry, or Mike Krzyzewski, Oprah Winfrey, and J.J. Watt?
Oh, I'd go Oprah, JJ. Yeah, I'd go that table. I mean, even though my wife, she is I'm not going to tell you her age, but she's almost, quote unquote, over the hill. Almost, like, I'm talking like in 2 days over the hill.
Okay.
And she's still a Swiftie, so she'd probably get mad if I sat with Swiftie without her. So
okay.
I'm gonna go the latter.
All right. Here's another table. Would you rather sit with Jim Harbaugh, Drake, and Mike Trout, or Tom Brady, Snoop Dogg, and Joe Madden of the Cubs?
Oh, the latter. Come on, man. I've sat at a table with Jim Harbaugh before at an owner's meeting his first year.
Boring.
Funny, the first year he was the 49ers head coach, it was the lockout year, and they had to scurry to put the owner's meetings together, and it was at the Roosevelt here in New Orleans. And I sat with Jim Harbaugh, and I'm like, oh, okay. I think he was actually – it was probably a good day because his first year, you know, with the 49ers and that together. But come on, Joe Madden, Snoop Dogg, come on. Them two alone, you could put, like, a lump of coal in the other seat. Come on, man. No, Joe Madden and Snoop, they would be tremendous in and of themselves.
Yeah. So if they came and said, Larry Holder, we want to have dinner with you in New Orleans, where would you take them?
Oh, man, there's too many places. Come on. But I would go.
Come on, Larry.
All right. You give me, should it be fancy or should it be more casual?
Whatever you want. Whatever. All right, let's go fancy.
All right, I'm going to go Clancy's. I'll go Clancy's. And then I'll make sure to order in some Drago's Char Grilled Oysters.
Ooh.
I'll do that. I'll special order that.
They're opening one in Baton Rouge, big guy. I cannot wait.
Oh, all right.
How about that? So
Very nice.
You come see the Tigers, you can stop off College Drive and I-10 and check out Drago's, the newest addition. So, all right. Taysom Hill, Cam Jordan, and DeMario Davis. Interesting. I think that's a perfect story for you one day. I think you need to do that.
I should do that, actually. If it's a tree, and, you know, that is good for it.
Yeah, and just say, hey, I'll give you
a little credit line from
there
Jordy
Holder.
There
you go. Throw a dog a bone. There you go. Larry Holder, The Athletic. Enjoy your day off, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Jordy. Good talking to you, buddy.
Take care, man. All right, we'll take a timeout. That brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Fantasy football leagues, time to sign up. All the ball games, time to get in, eat up, enjoy. Because Hooters just makes you happy. We're back. Closing notes after this.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Who's got the best cheeseburger anywhere? Oh, you know by now. It's D.C.'s Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in the lovely village of Brobridge. That and everything you need for your travels, whether near or far. D.C.'s Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Normally we give you a sports on this day in history, but today, August 6th, back in the year 1945, it was during World War II, the U.S. B-29 superfortress Enola Gay dropped an atomic bomb codenamed Little Boy on Hiroshima, Japan, resulting in an estimated 140,000 deaths, the retaliatory measures taken after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. On this day, August 6th, 1945. If today's your birthday, hey, happy birthday. Hope you're having a great one. Hope it gets even better as the afternoon and evenings come by. Hope you have some cake and some ice cream, too. That'd be great. Let's see. You share your birthday with the likes of former New Orleans Saint. Happy 52nd birthday to Willie Williams. Happy 54th birthday to the Admiral, David Robinson. I can remember him basically single-handedly beating LSU in the NCAA basketball tournament, and then what a career he had with the San Antonio Spurs. Yes, and happy 54th birthday to the long snapper, Brian Kinchin, former LSU player, retired, gets called out of retirement by Bill Belichick. He's snapping the ball for punts and field goals. They win the Super Bowl. Brian Kinchin, happy birthday to him. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. I hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Thanks to our guest today, Wilson Alexander of The Advocate, Billy Embody Talking Recruiting from Go247. And it's always fun talking with Larry Holder, The Athletic. Tomorrow we have Astros baseball. So we'll be back Thursday. We'll take the day off. I think it's the last one of the baseball season. So we'll take hump day off. CD, job well done. Greatly appreciate all you do. Thanks to all of you for listening. Whatever form or fashion you do, keep it up. And our partners, you make it possible each and every day. We're always looking for more. So call me. Get in touch with me. AskJordy@gmail.com. Until Thursday, come on back. Same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Hultberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette, 1037 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663.
I never get sick. Never taken a sick day. I'm not going to let a little thing like a 100-degree fever stop my business. You know what really makes me sick? Downtime.